Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Norm Rush, I think we've all met Dwayne before. So let me call us to order here this morning. It sounds like a couple more people are still trying to make and call us to order. I, Norm Rush, Chair of the Oregon Board of Accounts and Qualifications Committee, call this public meeting to order at 9:01 a.m. via Zoom on Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. This meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. In accordance with the advisory committee procedures, the function of the committee is to review the experience requirements of individuals applying for an Oregon license to practice public accountancy and make recommendations to the board regarding such applications. The committee will review experience records submitted by the applicant to demonstrate achievement of the core competencies in other professional standards, including non-public accounting experience, such as equivalent experience, and experience obtained through board-approved experience programs. In the performance of duties as a member of a committee appointed by the board, all committee members will support the mission, goals, and values of the board. Committee members will not disclose confidential information that comes to their attention during the course of carrying out their responsibilities. Requests to any committee member for copies of public information or for a public statement relating to committee or board matters will be referred to the executive director. Board and committee members are expected to attend all meetings and be prepared for the discussion by reading the agenda material prior to the meeting. Committee members are expected to participate in the individual review of applicant files as assigned, providing timely notification to their committee coordinator if a potential conflict of interest exists. Likewise, committee members must provide timely notification to the committee coordinator of any conflict of interest in any matters being discussed. Members of the committee, please remember to mute your microphones during the meeting to avoid unnecessary background noise, and do not use the chat room feature for any discussions. When you want to speak, you may unmute yourself, state your name prior to speaking. Should any technical issues arise, we will pause the meeting until it is resolved. We will now take roll of all participating members and guests. For any participating guests, whose name that was not called, please identify yourself at the end. So let me start with the committee members. I'm here, Nora Rush. Debray Didier has an excused absence. Steve Data? Present? Okay. Brian Miller?
Here.
Thank you. Aaron Piazza?
Here.
Thank you. Mary Panero. Thank you, Mary. Michael Smoot. Is Michael here? Okay. Nick Van Fleet.
Here.
Thank you, Nick. Emily Bong is excused absence. And Gabby Zhu.
Here.
Thank you, Gabby. And Jason Robinson, our board liaison.
I'm here.
Thank you, Jason. So let me call the names of the applicants. And applicants, please indicate your presence if you're here. And if you have a guest, please introduce your guest. How about Andrew Crocker?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Andrew. And Frischhoff?
Good morning, present.
Thank you. Payal
Kitan? Good morning, present.
Thank you. Colin McCather? Colin's not here. Marky Mu?
I'm here. And thank you. Also, my supervisor's on the line, Jason Chan.
Good morning, thank you. Cam Nguyen? Kim is not here. Michael Phillips?
I'm here, and also my mentor, Ling Kai, is here. And also I see Christine Yan, who also works with me.
Thank you, Michael. Nancy Jackoff?
Present.
Thank you. And Scott Sauls?
Here. My supervisor will be joining in a few minutes. It'll be Janelle. Sorry.
Great. Thank you, Scott. Okay, good. And then, of course, Julie Nago and Ashley Rios from board staff are here, I see. Any other guests that we did not get mentioned? Okay.
No.
Just yes.
For the record, I want to let you know that Michael Smoot is now present.
Oh, great. Sorry, I'm late. Thank you, Ashley. And good morning, Michael. Let's move on to, we have a full agenda today, so I'm going to try to keep it rolling. We have 9 applicants, and so we'll try to stay on our time commitment here. So let's move on to agenda item number 2, review and approval of the agenda. Did everybody have a chance to review the agenda? And if so, any comments or feedback or suggestions for edits?
Looks good.
Okay, great. Thank you, Eric. Great. So can I ask for a motion to approve the agenda?
It's Aaron Piazza. Can we approve the agenda for today's meeting?
I'll go ahead and say that. Thank you, Michael. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Good. Okay, let's go on to agenda item number 3, review of the meeting summary from our last meeting. Hope you all had a chance to look at that. And really, we don't need to vote on that. It's really just there for any comments or suggested corrections. Are there any comments or edits or suggestions with respect to the summary of the last committee meeting? That would have been April 28, 2021 meeting. Okay. Good. Well, hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 4, review of the committee roster. And I think some of you may have submitted some information to Ashley to update the roster. So, Ashley, maybe I'll just ask you to update anybody on any changes that may have taken place on the roster.
Thanks, Norm. I did make those updates from the last meeting. There were just a couple like new phone numbers and maybe employment addresses, so that is reflected.
Okay, great. Thank you. And please, if anybody notices anything with respect to the roster, please do let Ashley know and she'll make those corrections right away. And you'll notice I'm standing in early as the chair for this committee meeting. I'll do my best. Hopefully, Megan was an excellent chair of our committee. At least to this point, as long as I've been on the committee, and so hopefully, I will try. Hopefully, I can do as well, and I will certainly try my best. Being my first meeting, if I make any faux pas or anything, please correct me right away. Thank you. All right, let's go on into agenda item number 5, report of board action. Let me just turn it over to Jason. Jason, would you go ahead and please give us a report on recent board actions?
I don't think there's anything to report per se for you guys from the board, but we did ratify all the stuff that you brought forward, so. We appreciate all the hard work that you guys are doing and all the effort you guys put in to qualify these CPA candidates.
Great, thank you, Jason. excellent. Okay, wow, we're flying right through. Let's go right to our agenda item number 6, the applications themselves. So let's do this. Please, when we get to your application, let me see, actually, bear with me one second here. Committee members, you had a note to this effect. Committee members, please introduce the application you reviewed and provide a brief overview. Again, I don't think we have any new committee members here, so we've all been doing this. So please do your briefing to the other committee members. It's very valuable because after all, everybody has looked at the applications, but you have gone through it in depth and had discussions with the applicant and so on. So your briefing is very valuable to everybody here. You can provide that brief overview, highlight any areas of concern or issues that you feel should be identified for further discussion, and then at the end, please open it for that discussion. Please do invite any committee members to ask questions of the applicant, if you would. Let's start through those. Our first applicant is Andrew Crocker, and the committee member that Andrew's application was assigned to is Stephen Mieda. Stephen, would you go ahead and provide your brief? Stephen with us?
I think he's on mute, maybe.
He is here, and it does not look like his computer's muted, but maybe his headset isn't working.
Oh, I see Stephen. Yeah, okay, I was looking for him. Stephen, if you can hear us, we can come back to you if there's a technical issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Stephen, we can't hear you, so I'll move on and we'll try to come back to you, okay?
Can I jump in? If his microphone's not working, perhaps he could call in on the number and just view on the computer and talk through the telephone?
Okay. Did you hear that? Did you hear Julie's comment, Stephen? Okay. Okay, very good. So please call in if you would, Stephen, so we can hear you. But in the meantime, I will move to the next application. So the next application is Anne Freshoff, and reviewed, or assigned, I should say, to Nick Van Fleet. Nick, would you please go ahead with your briefing that application?
Yes, thanks, Norm. Good morning, everybody. I see that Anne is with us, so welcome. I reviewed Anne Freshoff's application. She's currently a senior accountant at Pacific Retirement Services. Pacific Retirement Services operates not-for-profit continuing care retirement centers in several states, as well as two for-profit golf courses. So Anne is currently responsible for the preparation of financial statements for the care centers and the two golf courses. In addition to preparation of the financial statements, she performs a broad range of accounting functions, including preparation of journal entries, accounts analysis, ensuring the accuracy of census data, which is a key input to the accounting for entrance fees and member terminations. And she's recently been involved in several projects related to tracking and properly accounting for COVID stimulus funds. So Anne prepared what I thought was a very solid initial application and strengthened it with some additional content and examples based on my suggestions. So with that overview, I would like to open it up for discussion.
Nick, this is Norm. Nick, any particular comments on the specific competencies that you would like to make with respect to Anne's application?
No additional comments. I felt like with the additions that she made, which consisted of primarily just additional detailed examples of work to demonstrate the competencies, I felt like she had, with those adjustments to the initial application, had demonstrated all the competencies. And no specific concerns related to any of them.
Okay, thanks.
I have a question about the supervisory part. So we had, it looks like the supervisor was Mr. Blackson. He promoted out of that role fairly quickly. And then it kind of mentioned, well, I send tax forms occasionally. So do you feel that there was it a truly a supervisor role for the entire period under review, or was it, how quick was that transition from the supervisor moving into a different role and was no longer a day-to-day boss?
Yeah, Dan, would you be able to provide the committee perspective and answer to that question?
Mr. Blackson, he did transition fairly quickly into a different role, but that role didn't diminish the time I spent communicating with him. It did slightly change what we were talking about in terms of his focus this year did start steering more towards investments and tax and budget, but that didn't diminish at all like our interaction on a weekly basis and his involvement in the review of my financials.
Does that address the concern and answer
the question? Yeah, that's fine. I was just curious. That's okay. Overall, I thought it was a pretty strong application. I thought it was some stuff in there. So.
Okay, good. Thank you, Aaron. Any other questions for Nick or Ann regarding Ann's application? Well, if you would, please present a motion, and please, committee members, for your applicant, please present your motion in the form provided by Ashley, so it's the proper format for this meeting.
Yes, thanks, Norm. So I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Anne Freshoff has demonstrated competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR
801-010-0065. Okay. Is there a second? I'll second that. That's Michael. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you. Very good. Thank you. That sounds like it actually, I'm not sure if it's my role, but it sounded to me like that passed, the motion passed. Okay. Well, thank you, Nick and Ann. Thank you for being present. Good. Congratulations again. Let me keep moving. Stephen, are you able to, are we to hear you again? I don't think so. If you could call in, Stephen, that would be the best thing, Then we can hear your voice that way.
Do you understand that?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Norm, with the applicant, I'm going to just be honest, it's a super fun update, and I think most of these that come through these MOU programs are too controversial, so, I mean, can we just go ahead and discuss this with Andrew Crocker without Steve's intro?
I'll ask Ashley and Julie if that's a proper form.
I think that would probably be okay. I know that Stephen did communicate with me before the board packets went out, and he thought that also it was a strong application. And he, I do not believe he had any other recommendations for Andrew to change. Maybe Andrew can kind of confirm that. But I believe Stephen was happy with the way the narrative was written.
Hi, this is Andrew here. Yeah, Stephen had no recommendations for their own application.
And procedurally, I think you're fine. If Stephen wasn't present at all, we could still review the application based on everybody's assessment and continue the discussion.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Julie. Okay, well, let me do this then. Since we have the technical difficulty with Stephen's mic, let me just put it out to the committee then. Is there any comments or discussion that anybody has with respect to Andrew Crocker's application?
No comments from me. I thought it was a really strong application, kind of consistent with what we've seen with some of the other MOU program applicants.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I agree. I didn't mark any questions from my review as well. Anybody else? Any input on Andrew's application? Okay. Well, very good. Let's move on then. Could somebody propose a motion then with respect to Andrew's application?
Sure, Norm. Hi, this is Aaron Piazza. I'm fine. There is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Andrew has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing under OAR 801-010-0065.
Okay. Michael, I'll second that.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
Oh, thank you. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, great. Thank you. It sounds like Andrew's application, the motion was approved. Thank you for being here. Okay. Very good. Okay, we will keep moving. Thank you. So our next application is from Ayal Kitan, and Michael Spook, that application was assigned to you. Would you please proceed?
Perfect. So Ayal is an accountant at FM Systems Group and is supervised by Tammy Ashraf, the controller. I worked with Payal on some updates. Primarily the updates included just some additional examples in certain areas. I think there was some edits made in B, D, F, and G, and primarily these were just additional examples to make sure that the full competency was met. You know, oftentimes there's some nuances in those competencies, and sometimes one example isn't enough to truly demonstrate the competency. So Payal went back and made some edits prior to submitting the final version, which is the version that you guys had. I felt that all the edits helped to kind of provide additional commentary and help, you know, demonstrate her competencies and then how she met those competencies. But at this time, I'm happy to open it up to the group to see if anyone had any additional questions or items that they wanted to ask of the applicant.
Yeah, I have one question, Michael, and if I might direct this to you. So for competency D, it seemed to me that you gave a really good description in your examples of transaction process flow and system flow, but I didn't really see, perhaps you can point me to this, or clarify for me, I didn't see any references to the requirement of a competency with respect to substantive testing of internal controls. There was a really great description of the process flows themselves, but I wasn't seeing reference to the controls over those process flows, and particularly the substantive testing of those controls.
Hi, Norm. Hi, all. So yes, I was involved in the processing part. For example, when it started in AP, I was supposed to draft the bills for approval before I actually set up the wires or process check payments. So during that, it was essential that the bills are approved by people who actually know what they are doing. For example, FM Systems, the company I work for, they partnered up with other people at VMS. So the person who was approving it prior, she was approving it just for the sake of it. She had no idea what's going on there. So I reached out to her asking that, are you comfortable and do you have everything that you need to approve this bill? So we worked that out and then we got her touching base with the correct people and then it went. So that was one internal control that people were approving bills without actually even having the complete data set. So that was one challenge that I had to put out. I apologize if I did not mention that in the narrative, but that's it.
Okay, thank you. So let me just pursue that just a bit more then. So with respect to for that particular control that you described, what would substantive test there? In other words, some kind of a reconciliation or something to that effect to ensure that the substantiation that the data perhaps before and after some processing or from two different systems or wherever it was, that they substantively were the same before and after whatever process change was.
Okay. Yes, so what I did was whenever we have a partner agreement where they mention that what is the percentage will complete, how much will they commission me, at what rate will we bill the customer. So whenever a new bill came in, I checked that the previous balance was as per the records that we had with the partners. I also checked that they are not overbilling us. Say, if they billed us 90 days and the contract was 100 days, if I see the amount is like exceeding 10,000, I raise with that. Hey, they are overbilling us, so what's going on here? And we did identify a couple of issues which we sorted out. So that was one control. The other was when we invoice a customer, we mentioned that, hey, we got a bill from this partner and this is the percentage of completion. Do you agree? I matched those bills from the partners to the invoices we issued to the customers. So if the customer paid us, they agreed, that's when we paid the customer. There was no cash outflow before we confirmed that it all has been recorded properly.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. There was some progress. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem, Stephen. Did you have a question for Payal's application with respect to completion?
No, I didn't.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I had a question. I mean, I had a question more. Along with what Norm said, I thought some of the advanced the examples were pretty low level. There's a lot of stuff about check runs and tying out invoices to the check. I just think pretty much in high level stuff. I think we kind of talked about maybe some of the Lisa County rules very briefly here, but I didn't get any sense for this. I think it was like leading the research, leading the charge, and like determining how to apply those. I thought overall that the examples were kind of like somebody just doing AP. So I would like to see this have a little more high level stuff, a little more research, maybe an example where they directed a project and they saw the common problem, not what I could call like a basic accounting problem.
Hi Aaron, thank you for your question. So yes, when I was writing this narrative, my role was a bit different, but of late I have been promoted to senior accountant and I have been taking projects which involves, system integration and putting classes in place. One of the projects that I have been working on is inventory. So FMs, we make sensors and panels to go reading rooms and facilitate management. So what happens there is we do not have a perpetual inventory system yet. It's pretty manual. So whenever a hardware leaves our warehouse, we have to record the cost of goods sold each month. That involves, checking out with the hardware team, checking if the item actually went out, if there was an opportunity put in place for the approvals there before the hardware went out, if we record revenue. And this morning, I was talking to Tim, who was our controller, he does most of the cash projection things, and he asked me questions. So I sent him a report that for the month of July, what hardware we ship, and if we actually can use it. So that involved checking on the AR side of things as well, which is why you did not see many examples on the overview in my application, because these are something that I started using. We are also working towards integrating our inventory into Pinda so that if an item is checked out, the cost is immediately recorded, thereby eliminating the manual process.
I mean, are these things we can add to this? I mean, honestly, this reads to me like somebody that does AP, if I read this, if I look at it as a whole. Now, as you're describing the background data on these other projects and these other areas, I'm sure inventory is probably a big ticket item for this company. I think that could focus in this application versus check runs and tying up vendor invoices.
Yeah, it was for the timing that when I was writing this application back in March and February, that was my role, but I recently grew a lot in FM. We have new projects, we are acquiring new businesses, we acquire a business bigger than our own. So yeah, the team is growing, the company is growing, and so are our responsibilities.
So congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you now, Stephen. Thank you, yes. Thank you. Thanks, Aaron, for those questions. Any other questions? Yeah, by the way, Aaron, it can be proposed to defer once we're done with the question, and with reference to a motion, it can be proposed to defer this application for further, further documentation. That would be just fine. But let me just ask if there are any other comments, questions for Payal or for Michael, but primarily for the applicant, Payal. No further questions. Okay, Michael, let me return it to you then to propose a motion with respect to this application.
Perfect. So I move to defer the application for Payal Catan pending some additional documentation as previously discussed. I can work with Payal on that after the meeting.
Great. Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I don't think it means a lot. I think what she was just describing to us could go into the application, and that would probably be the one that just gets it over the hurdle and we move on. So I know it's annoying to defer a couple months, but I think it's probably a good call.
Good feedback.
Yep. Great. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Hi, also. That motion was approved to defer for additional documentation under the competencies that Smoot will work with the applicant on until the next meeting. Thank you. Okay, our next application was also assigned to Michael Smoot, and it's going to the applications from Colin McCathern.
Double duties this meeting. So I guess kind of quick update before I go into details on this one. So I had provided Colin with some edits, essentially in all of the competencies. I never heard back on any of those, and so the application that you have is the version that I initially reviewed, so no edits there. I didn't see that Colin or Laura were on the call, so I guess I can just give you kind of a real quick update, but obviously kind of know where this one's going. But so he is the accounting analyst at David Douglas and is supervised by Laura Olson, who's the accounting manager. So in competency A, I didn't see any examples around professional judgment or integrity, objectivity. Competency B, there needs to be some expansion in this on a lot of the components of the competency, assessing objectives and goals, performance measures, critical success factors. Didn't see anything about economic regulatory trends. In competency C, my feedback was that this section is a little light. Seems like there needed some additional examples in here to help strengthen the narrative and make sure that all of the components of the competency are actually addressed. Same with D, similar, just additional examples to address the competencies. That was a little light. In competency E, I suggested expanding on the example to talk about gaps identified, specific procedures performed based on the risk assessment that was done. And then competency F, I didn't see anything about, you know, problem solving or ability to conduct and conclude on technical research. And then in competency G, you know, I saw that there was a good example in there of the regulatory item, but just no real linkage to then how it impacted the business either, you know, from an accounting perspective or likewise. And then some kind of example, you know, of written or oral communication of some of those related financial information or accounting topics. But, you know, with that said, none of those have been updated here for the version that you have. But I don't know if you guys have any additional items that you caught that, you know, if Colin is going to look to, you know, be deferred and update his narrative later down the road. I'd like to make sure, hopefully, provide all the comments in one swoop.
Thank you, Michael. Any comments from other committee members with respect to Colin's application?
I mean, I agree with Michael on pretty much everything. I thought this one kind of reads more like a program manager than an accountant. I didn't really see how this qualifies. I mean, it may be a good government program manager or grant program manager, but like Michael said, I didn't see anything about technical research and what's solving complex problems that we deal with. So maybe there are, maybe he's got those examples, he needs to follow Michael's advice or not, but obviously we got to deal with what's in front of us. And I don't think obviously this is not going to clear the barrel this morning.
Agreed.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Nick. Any other comments on Colin's application?
If I can jump in real quick. Colin, I have been in contact with Colin via email. He does know that his application would most likely be deferred because he missed that deadline for the revisions. And so he is willing, you know, to make those revisions and work with Michael and be prepared for the December meeting.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ashley. Okay, so thanks, Michael. So let me turn it back over to you to propose a motion with respect to this application.
Thanks, Norm. I move to defer the application of Colin McCathern pending additional documentation of competencies A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Yeah, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. The motion was approved to defer this application. Thank you.
No?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Can you see me?
Yes, we can see you, Steve.
Okay, now you can hear me?
Yes.
That's good. Okay, well, we're back to Mr. Tucker. I'm sorry. I practiced this. I practiced about 10 times, but it's now a moot issue. He has been approved. So I will not approve to really very good narratives, and sorry about that, my little maybe cheap. I should pay a little bit more on my
No worries. Thank you, Stephen. And thank you for letting us know what your input would have been there. It's good to, but no worries. Technical difficulties are, you know, kind of
kind of go with the territory sometimes on these Zoom meetings.
And you will find more.
Thank you, you're welcome. Okay, let's move to our next candidate, who is Marky Wu. And this application was reviewed by Brian Miller. Brian, if you would go ahead and take the mic, please.
Sure. So Marky has a great deal of accounting experience, both in some public accounting experience with Elmer and Kuhn, and non-public experience at Adidas. So she's been in Adidas for the last 3 years or so, and started as a senior accountant and then moved into a role as manager of the retained accounting team. She went forward with this application with her experience at Adidas because she felt like it more solidly reflected the competencies needed to be a CPA. So when reviewing and chatting with her on her application, she gave a lot of great examples and details of different experiences for the different competencies. Mostly, my feedback to her was just to give a couple more examples because she just has a lot of them, and it's wonderful. And like was mentioned earlier, it's sometimes hard to give examples to check every box. So we went through and talked through competencies A and G or through G, and I think she does a great job. I think it's a strong app.
Excellent. Thank you, Brian. Any other comments or feedback or questions for Marky on this application from other community members?
So is not capitalizing the A and the E, this is like a thing that was like a big concern.
I didn't ask that question.
Adidas is not capitalized for, it's not for internal purposes, it's not a capitalized thing. I don't know. That's just the way it's written here, so that's what we do.
Alright, that was a good application. I agree with Brian.
I agree. Thought it was a very good application.
Thank you.
Any other feedback on Marky's application? Ashley, did you have a... Oh, no, okay. Great. Well, Brian, let me turn it back over to you then for a motion.
All right. I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Marky Wu has demonstrated competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay. And this is the second. Who is? Thank you, Nick.
Nick. Okay. Thank you, June. Good. Okay, looks like that motion is approved. Thank you, Brian, and congratulations, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Let's move to the next applicant. This applicant is Cam Nguyen, and this application was assigned to Gabby Zhu. Gabby, would you go ahead and provide your briefing?
Thank you, Mom. Hi everyone, I'm also with applicant Cam Nguyen on the CPA application. Cam works for Baseline Corporation, which is in the digital payments processing and the fraud management business. She works as the staff accountant at Baseline, and her duties include bank transactions and general ledger fees at month-end closing, which includes booking entries and performing account reconciliations. On this role, she is being supervised by an active CPA on the company's assistant controller from December 2019 till the application date, January 2021, which equals to 13.5 months experience. From reading the narratives that Cam provided in the application, I think she did a good job trying to relate her work experience to the competencies required by the CPA board. A lot of examples she has given is more from the areas of performing reports and accounts reconciliation, bank reconciliation, and the process efficiencies. While she does demonstrate some required competencies in her team, however, I do have some concerns in certain areas that I would like to bring up for this advisory committee. This advisory committee consider and potentially open up for discussion. So my first concern is her work experience is the life size, only 13.5 months with this show of application, and prior to this job, can work as a variety for fairly short period of time, with most employments only lasting 3 to 4 months. My second perspective, her job responsibility is heavily on the processing and operation side, and seems like being limited to treasury functions, such as payment processing, bank transactions, account reconciliations. Fraud reserve estimation is the only more complicated accounting area she seems like being involved in authorization. And this is being mentioned in competency F. However, there is no clear demonstration about her competency in interpreting accounting standards and performing technical accounting research. Given that being said, about the applicant's lack of experience and exposure to more complicated accounting areas, such as revenue recognition, expense accrual and match, and the lack of a thorough understanding about internal controls. And it's, to be specific, I think the applicant is lack of experience to prove she holds competency C, D, and E. In sum, I'm impressed by Cat's development on her current employment role. However, I'm hoping to see more work experience and technical strengths in the applicant before we approve her CPA application. That's my perspective, and I'm interested to hear other committee members' opinions and thoughts on this application.
Very good, thank you, Danny. Any other feedback or questions for this applicant on this application?
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I mean, I had the same concern that actually the fraud reserve was the only thing I saw on there that was somewhat complicated, or a lot of just honestly, my staff kind of duties to our transactions, just applying customer payments. It was heavy on that, and like Gabby said, not enough any sort of complexity or judgment or high level financial view. It was just very transactional, very honestly based transactional. So I can agree with Gabby.
Here. Other comments or questions for the applicant or Gabby for Gabby?
I agree with Gabby. I think specifically though, one item I wrote down in competency E was really just the risk assessment process was kind of missing from this part that really led to why, you know, these reconciliations are being done. And I mean, I think there was one brief sentence just on what a common risk would be, but just, you know, some kind of full robust risk assessment process that just seemed to be missing from that that competency to help drive like the whole start of the risk assessment process to how it was actually, you know, how those risks were managed and what substantive processes or controls were put in place to manage those risks of what could go wrong.
Thank you, Michael. Other comments or feedback?
And I just thought, my question when I was reading it was, did she not have the experience, or did she just not write it down? If she had been in roles of decision making and advising decision makers, but it sounded to me more like she just hasn't had the experience yet.
I understand that she's a lack of the experience because when she first submitted the application, actually I worked with her a lot. as a provider for a lot of comments, because the first clarity is even not providing related examples for the competencies. Now she really improved the clarity, but I just feel like due to the lack of experience, it's hard to demonstrate that competency. Yeah.
Thank you, Gavin. Thank you, Aaron. Further comments? Okay, great. Well, nothing further. Gabby, let me return to you to propose a motion with respect to this application.
I move that there is insufficient evidence to demonstrate the applicant, Cam Nguyen, has achieved the competency in the certain four areas necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Yes, sir.
Before you vote, I'm going to ask, we've always deferred since I've been on here. We've never just straight up said not qualified. Is that maybe the staffing? So what process does that take off? Do they have to reapply? Do they have to let the time pass and do the application again? Or can you explain those to follow on?
If you defer, obviously she would have an opportunity to add additional information for your review at the next meeting. If you feel like that information just wouldn't be there, Gabby would be a better person to evaluate that since she's had these discussions. But if you feel like this is all there is and there just isn't more for her to add, then you absolutely can deny the application, that she would need to reapply at a later date when she has additional experience.
My thought is to really need more years experience and expansion of the work scope to qualify. But I'm open for other committee members' opinion.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
To give her a timeline, I mean, obviously, I think we all said like 3 months is not going to do. Maybe we can give her some guidance, like, hey, maybe give it a year, you know, try your role, come back to us in a year, and
we can. I would say we don't know where her career is going to go and where her job duties are going to go and what she's going to be promoted into and experience she's going to have. And so I don't think we can actually define that. I think her bosses are going to define that for her.
That's very true. If you think there's any opportunity for her to add more that would get you there, I mean, it sounds like it's a heavy lift because there's a lot missing. But if you think there's any opportunity, then you probably should defer. I'm not giving advice. I'm just saying that, you know, if there's an opportunity, we would probably do that. If there is not an opportunity, then you have that choice to make.
Yeah, this is Nick. My thought would be that we should head that direction. Is give the candidate the opportunity to assess whether there's additional experience to offer that's relevant. And if there's not, then there's not. But at least I think we would give her the opportunity to assess that, unless Gabby, you had a sufficient conversation with her that you think you've exhausted that. In other words, all the experience that she has is currently there, then I think we would, you know, reasonably have the other direction to deny it.
Thank you for the feedback. I think it makes sense to me just to give her an opportunity in case she can show the competency. Okay. I will remake my motion. I want to defer the application for Cam Nguyen pending additional documentation to show more competencies as we discussed.
I wasn't saying that your initial motion was wrong. In fact, I'm leaning towards the fact that your initial was correct, because it doesn't sound like you're going to be able to come to something in 3 months. It's going to bridge the gap we have. I would stick with your original motion that the is at this point. I don't want to be back in 3 months doing the same thing. I don't see how that's helpful to anybody, including the applicant.
I agree.
So when I'm communicating with him, we only communicated via emails, and due to I was super busy the last month, I didn't really had a chance to discuss into more depth with her. So I think I might stick with the motion to defer. So just give me a chance to call her. I just feel like she took so much effort to submit this application. Maybe I should respect her time a little bit more. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I clarify that your motion is for additional documentation on all competencies?
Yes.
Right. I'll second that, the deferral.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Michael. All in favor of deferral?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you, Gabby. This motion then was approved for deferral. Thank you, Gabby. I thank you for all the discussion and everybody's input. Okay, let's move to the next applicant, who is Michael Phillips. And this application was assigned to Mary Canero. Mary, please provide your briefing.
Okay. Michael Phillips comes to us from the Department of Revenue, which has an MOU with us for a program to lead people into the CPA designation, and he's been following that and supervised in that area. He has audited many different types of tax returns, individual C-corps, S-corps, partnerships. He has audited a variety of businesses. He's audited a variety of circumstances. So he's in his audit programs. He actually develops an audit program, and he has to evaluate internal controls. In the process of setting up his audits, he evaluates the chain of transactions before he even figures out his audit. He has to evaluate the areas of highest audit risk of where he's going to do the most work. I felt that he gave great examples throughout his application. The main suggestions I made to him were simply in organizing it so that we could understand more quickly what examples were going with what competency, and he did that. He's been very responsive to anything I've asked him. I did think in the initial review that maybe he had not had much experience in inventory. And he explained to me some of the work he's done with inventory and what his understanding is of inventory, auditing inventories and risks in inventory, misstatement, and I feel he has a great understanding of it, so I did feel that was not a weakness. And let's see. Yeah, I just felt he demonstrated all of the competencies very well. So I'd like to open this up for discussion and questions or comments.
Thanks, Mary. Any comments or questions from other community members? Okay, any questions for Michael directly? I see Michael is here with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if there are questions for a special man. Oh, thank you, Mary. Yes. I agree. Mary, let me return it to you then to propose a motion with respect to this application.
Okay. I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Michael Phillips has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. That looks like that motion passes to approve Michael Phillips' application. Thank you for being here this morning, Michael.
Congratulations, Michael.
Thank you all so much. I really appreciate it.
Great. Okay. Let's move to our next applicant. Our next applicant is Nancy Pianco. This application was assigned to Ellen Long. Ellen was not able to be here this morning. She is an excused absence. However, she asked me if I would present the application. And Ellen did all the, of course, I reviewed
the NSU staff application, but Ellen certainly did all of the work up front and communicated with Nancy and also you can see with from all the bold face content in Nancy's application that Ellen had quite a significant feedback for Nancy that was incorporated into this application. So Ellen also prepared her briefing for me, so which I agree with, but since Ellen has pre-prepared it, I'm going to go ahead and read her comments as she prepared them. So here we go. Nancy has been working in the accounting field for over 20 years, which has provided a wealth of practical application for her accounting knowledge, including but not limited to bookkeeping and preparation of personal and business tax returns. Nancy obtained her qualifying experience in corporate accounting at Truitt Brothers, Inc. as the assistant controller, reporting directly to Peggy Lehman, who was the controller during that time. Truitt Brothers is a shelf-stable contract food manufacturer with a presence in both Oregon and Kentucky, where they have independently developed and successfully launched more than 1,000 products. Nancy has a passion for accounting and loves what she does for a living. In competency A, Nancy outlined how she honed her professional judgment through mentoring and experiences. I thought to have good examples of processes and procedures she adhered to in her activities at Truitt that demonstrated her due professional care, objectivity, and independence in fact and appearance, such as following up on physical inventory counts, as well as establishing monitoring controls over financial reporting. Also provided examples where she demonstrated professional skepticism by challenging labor expense reports by verifying headcount and hours against source system data. For competency B, I thought Nancy did a good job of documenting her understanding of external and internal workings of Truitt. In one example, she explained how Truitt's supply chain was impacted by COVID. She outlined the adverse impacts to the supply chain from global shifts for rapid demand growth on the food processing industry, as well as the impacts from vendor resources and price inflation. In Nancy's examples around Truitt's objectives, performance measures, and critical success factors, she was able to articulate how her reviews of economic trends on raw materials as part of her cost and revenue analysis on new products impacted revenue growth, which is one of Truitt's critical success factors. Another of Truitt's critical success factors is the expanding in the market through new product development while maintaining competitive contribution margins. Nancy's ability to provide accurate costing of new products helps determine whether or not the company is meeting their objective. In competency C, Nancy provided examples over her experience with preparing costing report modeling, an analysis for sales margins, and financial statement reconciliations. All three examples required compiling and analyzing large volumes of data and an understanding of the company's policies and procedures. Nancy was able to accomplish this by creating Excel workbooks with clear and concise conclusions through the use of formulas and logical presentations. The conclusion in the costing report modeling and sales margins workbooks, which contain relevant supporting details, were able to highlight unexpected variances that led to updates in managerial accounting policies and strengthened internal controls. I thought these examples did a nice job of demonstrating our ability to present data so that anyone with similar training and experience would draw a similar conclusion. While at Truitt, Nancy gained firsthand experience in the accounts payable, accounts receivable, and payroll department, which led to her thorough understanding of the transaction streams for expense and revenue, as well as the internal controls over financial reporting in those areas. In her experience in the AP department, Nancy identified an access security control gap where vendor numbers were manually being adjusted. She made recommendations to restrict the access rules to
to prevent this activity, as well as identify process improvements to hold the procurement department accountable for the accuracy of data with purchase orders before it was passed to AP. Another good example that highlighted Nancy's ability to evaluate an accounting system within a company was her experience within an ongoing Oracle implementation. Here she was able to identify the need to configure the system to more readily handle revenue associated with contract manufacturing to allow Truett to take advantage of system configurations resulting in fewer manual adjustments. While Nancy provided examples of her understanding of internal controls over financial reporting, as well as her ability to identify control gaps, there were no references to substantive testing of internal controls, however. Under competency E, in Nancy's tenured experience in accounting, she has identified that areas with high volumes of manual entries increase the risk of material misstatement in financial reporting. In all of her positions, she has worked to eliminate this risk by recommending and creating processes that automate entries and reporting wherever possible. In this competency, Nancy has several good examples of verifying data accuracy. In one example, she requested substantive testing for data accuracy, i.e. a physical inventory count, to verify the accuracy of data when variances were identified between GL and the source system's reporting. In other examples, Nancy asks managers to directly verify transaction reports around timekeeping to validate data accuracy. In competency F, Nancy had good examples of her ability to analyze and interpret accounting data through her experience analyzing Truett's gross margins and budget sales. Both examples used financial and unfinancial data, such as risk, to identify their relationships and draw conclusions. In another example, Nancy illustrated how she used managerial decision-making and problem-solving skills to determine a short and long-term solution over budget modeling. In the short term, formulas were added to remove manual calculations that were driving inaccurate results. In the long term, the company plans on implementing a budgeting module tool. The budget modules are critical reports of Truett as they highlight significant data trends such as pounds produced and labor, which Nancy analyzes to conclude on the reasonableness of current labor amount given additional factors like current product mixed demands and code. However, I didn't see any examples that reference technical accounting research. Competency G, Nancy included examples where she gave oral presentations over Truett's business, products, services, and financial statements to the company's new owners. Additionally, she provided examples where she tailored management reports for the sales teams to ensure a clear picture of gross margins by customer, as well as discussing with sales management the accounting treatment of customer billbacks and contractual true-ups and how they differ from the sale of finished goods. Nancy also noted how she has provided management with memos regarding findings within GL account reconciliations and included conclusions and recommendations. So in conclusion, I believe that Nancy does have relevant experience for initial licensing. However, I'll open this up for discussion, for additional discussion, but I will move Ellen's proposal, and I concur that I will propose a motion to defer this application to include additional documentation under competency D to address substantive testing of controls, and competency F to reference technical accounting research. So, let me go ahead and open it up to any further discussion. Nothing further. Any questions for Nancy? Nancy is here today.
Could you reread the part where we're referring for technical research and
Competency D to address substantive testing of internal controls and competency F to address technical accounting research. Does that answer the question here?
Yeah, because I was kind of looking back through his name.
Okay. Any further questions or discussion on Nancy's application? Okay. Well, nothing further then. I move to defer the application for Nancy Piatkoff pending additional documentation of substantive testing of internal controls for competency D and technical accounting research for competency F.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. So that application has been approved for deferral until our next meeting. And Nancy, I know you're here, and Ellen will be getting back with you to work with you additionally to update your application, your narrative, to say, for the next meeting.
And thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So to our last application then, Scott Saltz, and this is assigned up here. Go ahead and provide us with your briefing, please.
Awesome, thanks, Norm. So I am presenting Scott this morning. Scott's initial application came in pretty good, made some edits, mostly around the fact that he is, he went through the merger and acquisition with his employer being acquired by Anheuser-Busch. So I guess the backup is a steering account with Craft Brew Alliance. They've been acquired last year by Anheuser-Busch. So I asked him to focus more on that. I told him I'm not interested in that you can reconcile bank account or you can trace some of the stuff that you're like. I wanted to see the high-level stuff that you're doing. And I thought he did a great job of punching up his application. His application's heavy on inventory. It's a manufacturing company, so I would expect some kind of manufacturing companies to be heavily involved in inventory. He talks about his market analysis, competency in D. He talks about the LCM obsolescence testing that he does to make sure inventory is valued correctly, which is his big time in manufacturing concern. So I like those examples. At least account. So for his technical research, he mentioned several times the Lisa kind of changes both with his accounting standards and how it was impacted by the acquisition from Anheuser-Busch. So he thought he covered those areas well. Competency E, his complex accounts, he's responsible for things like intangibles, trademark, goodwill, stuff that requires a lot of estimate and judgment. I'd like to see him have those examples. Overall, I thought it was pretty strong. I didn't make any suggestions to F and G. I thought they were good as they came in. So I'm going to open up to the group here where I make my motion.
Yeah, Aaron, I have one question for Scott, or I guess directly over from you, or if this came through in your analysis, Aaron. When I read through competency B, which is all about critical success factors, understanding that the company's critical success factors, any regulatory issues or trends or those kinds of things, when I read through competency B, it didn't really seem to address that to me. It seemed to be more in front of that would fit under competency D. I'm just wondering, did anybody else have that sense, or perhaps Aaron, when you read, if that came through you? There seemed to be a lot of discussion there about, installing the new ERP system and, transaction and process flows, but I didn't really see reference to critical success factors and,
He does talk about the market share objective being how the market is basically a static market, and that the goal is to take market share from competitors versus apparently the trend in that industry is not grow. There's less growth as far as more people participating in your product, and it's more for stealing market share. I don't know if we're taking market share, winning market share. So, to your point, I think he kind of addressed it in a tangential way there. But if Scott's on the line, he wants to add.
I guess my question is more or less, what more are you looking for regarding them? Can you get more specific as far as that question is concerned?
Right, so here's, you know, typically things like the company's objectives. Demonstrating your understanding of the company's objective, whatever that might be, growth in this market or geographically or product oriented, or understanding the company's critical success factors, which may be driving to a certain product margin, or you've contributed to helping management provide the reporting to direct management towards that objective or that critical success factor. Those would be the kinds of things I was looking for. As Eric mentioned, in the company's market share and how to measure that market share and drive towards gaining that market share, I guess that would be an objective, or perhaps more than a critical success factor, or maybe that is a critical success factor. But those would be the kinds of things I would expect to see addressed here, more than discussion of, you know, the software transition, the ERP transition that had to take place when the company was acquired by Anheuser Busch. So Aaron did allude to there was more of a tangential reference to one of those factors, I guess I would expect to see more content with respect to that.
No, Mark, if you look at the second paragraph, though, he does give him the whole the point of the merger was to expand the distribution network. It was to cost synergies, basically the combined power. So I think, and I'll be honest, so one of my comments to him on ComCD was that he had too much history about the company, and I wanted to see more about what his involvement was. So in his defense, I may have actually steered him towards less information about the company as a whole and more about his role in it. So I don't know, but I think he did in the second paragraph. I know it's a deal breaker for you, but he didn't touch on that. More his time there has been, Greg Aronofsky has been going through this merger process, which would be a very important strategic objective in and of itself.
Agreed. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying here. I think the discussion on the market share, I'm okay. I'm good with that. So thank you. Great. Any other discussion or questions or comments on Scott's application? Okay, if no other discussion, thank you, Aaron. If you would propose a motion with respect to this application.
I move to find there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Scott Stahls has demonstrated the competencies necessary for licensing for OAR 801-010-0065.
Yeah, you made me do it. Yeah. No.
Very good. Got one. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
That was an aye for approval, Aaron Benson.
Yes.
Okay. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, great. That application approved for approval. Thank you, Aaron, and thank you, Scott, for being here in person.
Congratulations, Scott.
Thank you so much, guys. Very much appreciate you.
Thank you. Okay, well, great. Well, thanks, everybody. That's a very, very excellent briefing, and that got us through our long list of applications in a very smooth fashion, so thank you. Before we move, before I ask for a motion to adjourn, any other anything else, any other comments or any other discussion for the good of the order before we adjourn?
Do we have a date for the final meeting of the year yet?
The next QC meeting is December 1st. And I assume at that date we will have the meeting dates for 2022.
Are we going to stay on Zoom?
For the moment, I believe so.
I don't see anything changing this year, personally, with all the mandates. It's getting tighter, not looser, so I don't see us moving for the December meeting away from Zoom. If you want to add that your December 1st meeting, you will have the opportunity to look over the dates that are proposed by staff for your 2022 meetings. However, it won't be final until the board's meeting, which I think is December 16. I don't remember, sorry. But it's December. They will make a final approval of the full calendar of meetings, and then that'll be published. The day after that meeting, we can certainly send that out. But generally, the board does not make changes to the committee meeting dates that are suggested, so you can kind of look at your calendars with the dates we propose and have that discussion at your December meeting.
And Julia, you're correct, it's December 16th.
Thank you, I was guessing. Thanks, Jason.
And I just wanted to say, Norm, you did an awesome job. The committee, you guys are great. I love listening to all the debates and discussions and everything, so I'm really impressed.
Great, thanks very much, Jason. Thank you.
There was a lot of meat to the discussion this time. For sure.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, everybody, for being so prepared. I agree. It was a very, very good discussion on all of these applicants. Thank you. Any other questions or discussion before we adjourn?
Just one shout out to Clean Tide and the revenue group. It's very heartening to see how far that program has come. So congratulations, guys. Good job.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Can I add something in that? Because something I noted in Michael Phillips' review, there are some instances where he's given, where he's been really sensitive to taxpayers' needs and done some adjustments for taxpayers' needs as opposed to trying to rush things through and get money for the state. And I feel that's a CPA's obligation to be protecting the public. And so he's doing that even in a role that is to generate government revenue. I thought that was commendable. And that's a CPA.
Yeah, just a quick comment. I was the workforce state endowments. Just so happy to say I'm not a CPA in the state.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kim. Yes, and thank you, Michael. Very good. Anything further? Okay. Well, hearing nothing, if there is nothing further, I will adjourn the Qualifications Committee meeting at 10:23 a.m. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks,
everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.